What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer. David Faber has the morning off. Futures are red as oil goes negative for the year. We're watching the protests over COVID restrictions in China take stock of Black Friday sales and get set for Powell and a lot of jobs data later this week. Our roadmap begins with those China protests. Spreading social unrest over ongoing zero COVID restrictions sends stocks and oil lower. Apple's supply concern reportedly facing a major iPhone Pro shortfall out of China. And as we said, retail notching a new Black Friday record, kicking off a strong start to the holiday. Let's begin, though, with market reaction to those protests in China against that country's strict zero COVID policy. Remarkable video, Jim, over the weekend, something we really haven't seen since he came to power a decade ago.
No, you go back to 1989. You have the Tiananmen Square. There were peaceful protests that were then turned into anything from 200 people who died, according to the Chinese, to 10,000 by some of the humanitarian organizations. In that period, they did not have as strong a central government as did now. And there was even dissent in the army, and there was also dissent around at the very top. They don't have that now. So, I mean, what you see is horrendous, but what you see is what you get when you don't have. When you don't use, because they do have it, a reverse-engineered mRNA, what I am confused about, and I'm using that as a play word, is how we react suddenly to things that are happening. I don't mean to conflate the horrible humanitarian repression that I see there. But what do we want from the Fed? Remember the Fed? They want lower oil. They want less economic activity. They don't want to have to do it here. They want to make the world slow down so things are not as bad, and they're getting it. So are we supposed to react negative? We react negative to what we don't like to see if it was in our country. But we should react more neutral in terms of what we would have considered just a few weeks ago, which is what the Fed sees.
Sure. We're going to get China data later this week. There's a Reuters poll about their PMI likely to go sub 50.
Incredible. They're one of the slower growing countries in the world. That's an amazing thing with 1.4 billion people. Russia off the front pages suddenly after just horrendous military, horrendous missiles, the number of missiles being shot. And the question is, are we going to give them something, Ukraine? It's off the front page. I think it matters very much for inflation. Given the fact that they seem to be in control of our ag business. One of the reasons why Deere had such a good quarter.
Yeah, we'll talk about some price target increases
wow.
today.
Deere's the star. Deere's quarter was amazing, just an amazing quarter. But again, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. China is terrible humanitarian, positive to keep inflation down, because the best part of what's keeping inflation down is commodity. We've not seen wage yet. Wage is going to be, again, layoffs in Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley being a rubric for technology in general.
Yeah, well, we'll get jobs Friday, of course. But are you worried about supply chain disruption that would actually be inflationary out of China? Or
no, because I think that everyone learned no lesson last year. Have a second source. Apple's tried to have a second source. I mean, what can you do? They just produce so many phones. There's a great misperception about Apple. You know, all you have to do is watch the NFL, which... AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. Verizon giving away the high-end phone. Now, these trackers of Apple, the people who are trying to trade it furiously, want you to sell it today, down three, they don't have any insight. You cannot get insight from those three. And believe me, I have tried mightily. And I have even some friends. You know, hands down, not a friend. That's a lead. I shouldn't say that. I think Hans Vesper's a nice man. But I just think that all the numbers that you see lend to a longer cycle. They missed this quarter.
Yes.
But if you don't know that they missed quarter, you really have your head in the sand. So, again, I'm presenting a more positive view. The Dow's been very strong. I know that this is seasonally post Thanksgiving, not as strong a time. So I get this decline. But we have to recognize that we went through a retail period that really, other than Target, was rather strong. Really incredible.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get to Black Friday numbers, some of the Adobe numbers. B of A looking at average
Shopify
selling prices.
Up.
Shopify today is going to be up pre-market. But as for Apple, Webbush says maybe you take 5% off units for the quarter, maybe 10%.
Right. Well, again, I mean, the most well-documented miss in history. You're watching a rebellion in Apple City. So if how's Apple, you know, Tim Cook is furiously trying to get a second source. But in the meantime, what we do is we have a situation that is widely documented, and we'll speak to Eunice Yu, that's the epicenter of what's wrong. So Nike will go down. I mean, I hate to say that China's unimportant. That would be ridiculous. 1.4 billion people is very important. But I would say that if our market's going to go down on social unrest every single day, then we will go down. We will give up 10%. That is just not a good idea. Go down on earnings, okay? Go down on the fact that enterprise software is awful. That's the weakness in it.
Right.
That's the Achilles heel of this economy. It's the endless number of enterprise software companies that have been created.
And we'll get a bunch of earnings this week. Really quick, just in terms of the price action in China, I mean, it's been kind of a rough night for Hang Seng, but the month has been incredible.
Yeah, and Pinduoduo, because the lockdown goes. I mean, they're you got to go back to what we were, say, in March of that terrible period. And I just think that, remember, if they wanted to change their minds and get this, the endless, give them the vaccine. So I think it's a little unreal, since we've all benefited from the vaccine here. We think that this repressive country can just change its mind. I don't think it can change its mind that easily. I mean, look, I think they can arrest quicker than they can change their minds.
It's a great place to start with Eunice. For more developments surrounding the zero COVID policy there, let's get to our Eunice Yun in Beijing. Working another late night, Eunice, and with a slew of remarkable video from the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Those weekend protests are arguably the biggest show of resistance to the Chinese Communist Party since the 1989 crackdown in Tiananmen Square. Over the weekend, we saw protests erupting in various cities around the country, including here in Beijing, and they were sparked by the deaths at a building fire in the far western city of Urumqi, which many people believe could have at least been in part due to COVID controls. Now, the public ire is largely directed at the zero COVID policy. However, there has been some indication of wider grievances. People were holding up white paper to indicate the protest against censorship. And also in Shanghai, there were some people even calling for the resignation of President Xi Jinping. Beijing has so far signaled that it is going to stick by its zero COVID policy, though it did say that it would hope to mitigate some of the more excessive curbs. State media had actually said that zero COVID is science-based and effective, and has been warning local officials against those excessive COVID, what they describe as layers. The wild card as to whether or not this policy is going to work is if COVID plays along. So if the COVID numbers kind of stay where at a manageable level from Beijing's perspective, I think we would see this precise approach and Beijing kind of muddling through. However, if it doesn't and we see a huge jump in COVID cases, then potentially the policymakers here could be faced with some two undesirable scenarios. And one would be a potentially brutal lockdown in Beijing, which would get the cases closer to zero and also send a message across the country that protests will not be tolerated. And then the other option is that they could potentially see a massive health crisis if the virus gets totally out of control. So the Communist Party is likely going to be weighing what is going to be most detrimental to its survival. Guys?
Eunice, first, stay safe. I don't know a person in this country who watches our network that isn't worried about you. And I mean it, because I think that we know the way that they can handle themselves. But you mentioned they think it's science-based. Now, I mean, at one point, under the previous president, we thought they created COVID. Obviously, that could be misinformed. But when they say it's science-based, what kind of science are they using?
They're not specific. I mean, they definitely have a lot of scientists or virologists who come out and back the policy. But they just repeat that it is science-based to get the message across that what they're doing is the best way forward. Today, they've also, as well as yesterday, there are plenty of editorials that were talking about how great China has been in defeating the pandemic and COVID, that when you look at it based on hospitalizations or on deaths, China is really the one that, compared to other countries, that has done the right thing. So the suggestion is, I think that, Jim, you were alluding to, that it's really difficult to kind of change this large ship and to just overhaul the policy really quickly, even though there has been this these like unprecedented number of protests in multiple cities, which the country hasn't seen in decades.
But Eunice, as we know from the 80s, and then at that point they did not have such a totalitarian government, that if they wanted to quash the dissent, they could just arrest everybody. They could, frankly, shoot everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that the Chinese government is very, very good, very adept at making sure that they can put down or clamp down on any type of overt dissent. I think what we saw over the weekend was quite remarkable, that people were so upset and just willing to actually take that level of personal risk. And I think what was also interesting was people were, for the most part, angry about the zero COVID controls, but there were a lot of people who were calling out for freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of information, even freedom to play video games. And even though that sounds frivolous, it actually, I think, indicates how intrusive the government is and has been more recently in people's lives. And so, that's something that the Communist Party will have to be worrying about, that the anger towards zero COVID doesn't, from their perspective, start to spread to anger towards the party on various levels.
Eunice, well said. And we'll obviously monitor it with your help later on today. We'll see. Eunice Yun in Beijing. Thanks so much. When we come back, early report cards, as we said, on the holiday shopping season, including some interesting data involving Walmart and Amazon. In fact, take a look at an Amazon warehouse in New Jersey as we start paying attention to Cyber Monday. Adobe looking for some record numbers there as well. Take a look at futures. More Squawk on the Street continues after the break. Don't go away.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Some new data shows the holiday shopping season off to an upbeat start despite inflation. According to Adobe, Black Friday online sales topped $9 billion for the first time, electronics among the major growth drivers. And as for both in-store and online, MasterCard says U.S. retail sales up 12 on Friday from a year ago. That excludes automotive. Some of the winners they're talking about, Morgan Stanley mentions Lulu, mentions
right.
Victoria's
Secret.
I think
Lulu's having an unbelievable holiday. Unbelievable. It is their season. Can we go back to what Corey Barry did with Best Buy? It's almost as if the company's been written off. Huge yield. A belief that their same-store sales cannot possibly ever be great. One of the great charts in the business. An extraordinary quarter. You would have thought from Home Depot and Lowe's that she would have too much inventory. She has the right inventory. It's well-stocked. And, by the way, she has so many multiple sources from the East, from anything from Asia she's done. She spent about $400 million getting that right 4 or 5 years ago. So rather unheralded. To me, I do not have any reason why she's unheralded. Her stores look great, right inventory. And if it's going to be hard goods, it's going to be Best Buy.
Right.
Still a buy here.
Despite what, say, HP said about PCs and printers. And
you know, I think that she, when I spoke to her, she was so wise to the HP problem, which, by the way, I mean, look, Enrique did, you know, he did a pretty good job. But the fact is that she was aware. And by the way, mobile gaming is the weakness when it comes to gaming, not PC. She quite understood that there was a glut of PCs. She shifted. You know, she went heavy appliance where there's been a problem. But no, you know, people just act as if she's just the source of the glut. She's the anti-glut. And if you're going to sell that stock off of China, I really want you to rethink everything you do in life, including the possibility that you may have thought that Green Bay won last night because you turned it off too early, which would have been a tragedy, of course,
yes,
had you.
Yes, that's right.
What is NBC coverage? I know I'm a total homer, but NBC coverage is really good.
As an aside, you saw the ratings for Thanksgiving football.
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, record Thanksgiving.
Well, see, this is one of the things, the dichotomy between watching and knowing you have to have sports versus everything else. I mean, it's so difficult because if you're a Warner, Warner Brothers Discovery, I mean, do you really have the money to continue the 2025 NBA, which NBA season's okay, but football is insane. And notice a dearth of auto ads. Why? A dearth of inventory. Now, we had a great conversation with Phil, but there were no F-150s to speak of, which is really rather extraordinary, but that's just like, there's no F-150s to speak.
Yes.
F-150s, where are they?
Yeah.
You know, Jim Farley, I would say he's having a great quarter, but the one problem is they had some nameplate issues. But I think that people have to realize, I'm not saying make your judgments watching NFL ads. I am saying that the companies are shifting huge budgets towards sports, and they have to because it's where the numbers are.
Yeah. Best Buy, for example, L.L. Bean, we talked with on Friday, huge advertiser on Thanksgiving. B of A does some work on average selling prices. They say about up 1 year on year, which is obviously below inflation.
Below inflation.
Higher than normal discounting.
But think about all the stores in the mall that did much about being an American Eagle. I mean, I'm going to put them on the border of pathetic last year. Gap stores, I will put them totally in the pathetic category. They're coming back. A lot of Dollar Gen supports. Now, when I go to my Dollar Gen, there ain't nothing that's a dollar. Now, I mean, I go with my wife, and she goes, where's the dollar stuff? And I said, well, it's right at the checkout, the fat Smarties, of which, of course, I had the price check. Really an amazing thing when I did the price. And AJ saw me, not AJ who caught a touchdown.
AJ Brown.
But no, the AJ, my checker, who's just said, I said, is there anything here for a dollar? And he's, they don't sell stuff for a dollar. And by the way, they're not cheaper. There was a fantastic piece this weekend about mouse print in the New York Times about how literally everybody's shrinking their products.
Yes.
At Dollar Gen, I swear, everything has shrunk. I mean, I think they shrink the raisins in Raisin Bran.
By the way, we're going to get Dollar General earnings on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great. And the street loves them.
And Ulta, too, which is removed from the focus list at JPM today.
Incorrect.
Really?
Yeah. This is one of the, I have to tell you, if you told me last year that the mall could make this comeback, it's rather extraordinary. I mean, how about the idea that Nordstrom was not terrible? I mean, you know, they probably have a meeting, the annual meeting, just like this. You know, we're not as bad as we thought. Okay. And then they dismiss the meeting because there's really nothing to say because they are brick and mortar personified.
How about Walmart overtaking Amazon in search for Black Friday bargains?
We're all beginning to question Amazon's acuity here. And we come back to that incredible Bezos, if you're Jay Powell, you want the most powerful retail person of our era, Jeff Bezos, to say batten down the hatches. Which probably was. I mean, I'd really like to speak to him on that, because why don't you just say, like, hey, we're having a recession, and, you know, other than me, the one of the richest people, and soon I will pass, no doubt about it, Musk, because he's funding this ridiculous buyout. Mm. But, you know, I don't want to hear the richest man in America, one of the richest people in America, tell us to batten down matches. I don't think he feels it. I don't think he feels like 317 million other Americans who are sitting there and saying, well, you know, I don't own as much Amazon as he does.
Well, you think it was bad advice?
Yes, it was bad advice. It was bad advice because wages have not come down, except for you're going to see a Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Now, compare Jira versus enterprise software. If you're an enterprise software, there's like, and by the way, there's like 100 more enterprise softwares that are trying to get through the queue.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of AI neural networks, like the science that they're using in China right now, to even under mask find out who it is that's descending. And that will not be what you should do in that regime. Yeah.
We are going to get a ton of software earnings, Okta, CRM later in the week. Snow.
Yeah. We've got makeup on Monday.
It's only Monday. We'll get Kramer's Matt Dash. We'll count down to the opening bell. Take one more look here at futures before we get that bell in about 9 minutes as Squawk on the Street continues.
The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tastytrade is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
We mentioned oil at the top of the hour, close to 74, but actually got down to 73.60 this morning. That is the lowest intraday since December of last year. So negative on the year, negative since the war in Ukraine began. We'll talk a lot more about the dynamics there, Chevron, Venezuela, whether OPEC reacts to any of this, China demand. Opening bell coming up in a few minutes. And don't forget, you can always catch us anytime, anywhere. Just listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast. It's time for Kramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell.
Wild one here. I did not expect three positive comments about Activision Blizzard. I mean, you could say, well, wait a second. That deal may break down. The FTC had waited and waited and waited and finally issued what I think was a very threatening message. And everybody likes it. Why do they like it? A lot of cash, a lot of optionality. Company is doing better because it's not as levered to mobile, which is the weakness because of in-game ads. So I think it's rather shocking. This deal was done. I mean, these companies had even thought about the way to split up and get out a certain part of gaming, have Bobby Kotick do something away from Microsoft. No. So it comes apart and people like it because they still, Wall Street still believes very heavily in gaming. They just won't go away from it because there's positive comments about EA. Take-Two, people feel that they did that last buy, they're questioning. Zynga, handheld. Again, because of just they don't want to people sitting around in a batting down the hatches era. Thank you again, Bezos. Don't want to do inter-game buys. And I think that that's weird. But Activision Blizzard is, I think, inexpensive and a buy myself.
Yeah, we mentioned buy. On Friday we talked a bit about it was upgraded by Baird and MKM and Ray J in the last couple of weeks. Why is the sell side have an opinion on a stock with a pending deal? You don't see that.
I think that people really have been. I think people are waking up to the FTC, waking up to antitrust here, where they don't let book publishers merge. There's absolutely no reason. There is nothing about this deal that threatens the ability of game writers to still get. This is a supplier to a producer that is historically not an antitrust violation.
So you think Sony doesn't have a leg to stand on in their complaints about Call of Duty?
No. But I think that our FTC is determined to make it so that you and I couldn't merge on a weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the FTC is anti-merger to the point where I honestly can't come up with a deal that they would approve. I just don't know of one.
Certainly a lot of big mega cap tech companies would agree with you.
Yes, that's done. I mean, and we need so many mergers, and we're not getting it.
Let's get the opening bell here. CNBC Real-Time Exchange with the big board at Kraft Technologies celebrating the second anniversary of its AI-enhanced U.S. Next Value ETF at the Nasdaq. Cerence, developer of AI technology for autos. And AI is everywhere this morning,
Jim. Yeah, no, I mean, AI, we should talk about what really AI is. This new AI is neural network. It's the ability to be able to piece together certain even words to be able to create what you want. It's the ability to be able to create an image that is not computer generated. That's really important. Computer generated does not look like the real thing. The stuff that they're doing now not only looks like the real thing, but can invent itself and learn things. It's true Terminator, if used in the wrong hands. One of the reasons why our country has been adamant to not give the Chinese the latest and greatest NVIDIA chips. Now, if you want to play this, obviously people can very easily say it's NVIDIA because the platform is NVIDIA to write things. The problem with NVIDIA, obviously, is it's had a big run and it did not have a good quarter.
And are you confident that the channel clears in the coming 12 months?
I think the channel does not clear until literally the beginning of January. Nobody's really optimistic out there that I speak to. I'm not going to be more optimistic than the people who make this stuff up. The guys who create it see the channel. Lisa Su sees the channel. Jensen Huang sees the channel. And it's thick with product. This is why I continue to say, if you want to see weakness, that's your list. Hewlett Packard, HP, they were not very positive. Of those, the only one that's, Broadcom is inexpensive and Qualcomm is inexpensive, but you can't be in the semiconductor shit.
I mean,
it's too early.
The best you could say was that HP and AMD sort of have similar views on the recovery of PCs.
Right, but we got down, when you're down 18, 19%, that means that there is a lot of inventory stuck, and it is hard to get through because there's no natural buyer. Here's what I think they got wrong. I think a lot of people felt that new office at home would be Wayfair and then it'd be Williams-Sonoma. It would be a second-rate PC and then an upgrade. Totally untrue. Williams-Sonoma, still one more piece this morning saying the edifice is cracking, whatever the heck that means. But there's no doubt about it that the whole concept that the home office is going to be better than it was last year, it was a false thesis.
Yeah. Interesting. Also, regarding work from home, Times piece over the weekend about business travel, meaning we are sort of returning to travel corporate, but the cost-cutting element now going into year-end is making it very hard to read for airlines and hotels.
Well, Ted, office REITs sure demonstrate that we're in a three-day situation. When you speak to the airlines, they're very quick to say there's more travel than ever because they do have these meetings where you see each other in order to be able to have like reunions of people who used to sit next to each other. I still believe that they have, the people aren't coming back. They're going to be 3 days in, 2 days out. It's not a mutiny because the top guys like it too.
they've learned to love it.
I mean, look, the Zoom numbers, as pathetic as they were and how much people hated the stock, the Zoom numbers did demonstrate that there's been no let up in the number of people who are doing that kind of interaction. You see Williamson down 5. This is, again, I mean, this whole notion of, wow, I'm home and I really got to fix it up. No, I'm home. Hewlett Packard, bad PC. Because people tend to like Apple, but I don't know. The at-home thesis is done. They got the office at home. They're thrilled. Now, I do have some sub-Rosa information that there's more gaming being done on Fridays.
On Fridays?
Yeah. I got this. This took a great deal of reporting to be able to get that.
There is a
secret report about how much gaming is done on Fridays. But otherwise, 3 day a week, except for you and me.
Yeah, we're 5.
David went with the 3.
This week he's with the 4. Wynn is leading, and we talked about China earlier, Jim, but Macau's going to get some fresh licenses.
Look, my charitable trust owns Wynn, and I consider this a windfall. Because they got the licenses. And then there's a sum of the parts piece. There's a belief, obviously, that Tilman Fertitta is going to buy the whole thing. I come back and say, my charitable trust, we just wish that were the case. That would be wishful thinking, and hope should not be part of your investing equation. That was just a windfall. By the way, the DraftKings, they slam again.
Yep, downgraded today over at JPM to underweight and Penn to neutral.
Isn't that amazing, given the fact that there is so much wagering? There is just a sense that they're stalled, that they got ahead of themselves. I don't know. I don't want to say DraftKings a bargain. I do say that if I were the new Disney, I would be looking for a serious partner right now in gaming. I mean, the new Disney we haven't talked about.
I was going to say Iger Town Hall today.
Yeah. The most recent release viewed as not that bad. Another chape.
You mean
mistake.
In terms of the box office weekend?
Yeah.
Strange World did not do well, but they got Wakanda.
But that movie, the one that didn't do well, costs a lot. Look, if I were Iger, I mean, it's time to really take a look at the table of employment. It's time to re-emphasize theme parks. It's time to turn off CNBC.
Meaning?
Meaning that I got cited in stupid articles that I had something to do with it, which is total nonsense. Can I just tell you that my sources indicate I didn't even come up? Can we stop that?
I think the Times piece did mention that you called for Chapek's head.
Well, no kidding. And the guy had the worst quarter of anybody I've seen this year. I mean, honestly, what kind of, he had like a software enterprise heavyweight discount firing quarter. I mean, you know, what was supposed to happen? Here's a man who did. Chapek's last conference call was, besides being much to do about nothing, was without a doubt a conference call that was as phantasmagorical as some of the best rides. It was incredible.
It was an e-ticket conference call.
Oh, my God. I mean, you would have thought that they shot the lights out.
Please grab small children by the hand as you listen to the conference
call. Yeah, a lot of, you know, it's like, here's five things that went unbelievably well. Never mentions the theme parks. Well, no, I shouldn't say never because that's extreme. But I think that conference call really was the crystallization that he had to go.
Last on Friday, though, a lot of sell side calls saying we're not chasing this because the issues are bigger than Iger himself.
No, that's false. I mean, that's another false dichotomy. You know, like they say this, Iger's got a game plan. Iger's good.
But you've been critical of the Fox asset purchase strategically.
Well, I mean, yes, they did pay too much. There isn't anyone who, by the way, I don't, it's not clear. You can't take the charge. It's so intertwined. Some people, large shareholders, think that the charge could have been in the 30, 40, even 50 billion. I say move on. I say that Iger's going to be able to bring back talent. Talent likes him. Talent did not like Chapek. I never thought the talent meant as much. I always figure the talent comes less expensively. You know,
the Scarlet dispute was a difficult way to begin.
One of the most loved people, a delight, and I think to get past this Chapek era will be hard initially. But I have total faith in Iger. Iger, by the way, was, when he left, a lot of the Fox talent left. And I think that, therefore, the reason why he might bridle about my analysis is it didn't have to be this way if Chapek didn't come in and emphasize.
That makes sense.
What did he emphasize? I'm looking at the crew. Maybe the crew knows. I don't know. I mean, you guys know, maybe there's some guys on the floor. The Chapek era is a heavy asterisk.
Yeah. Nasty Brutus.
Yeah, it's like they got him off the couch, you know, and he got burned.
Yes.
We still don't know where Chapek came from other than the couch.
As for the overall box office, Jim, $95 million for the weekend overall. In 2019, we only had four weekends below $100 million.
People want to do stuff.
People are saying, you got to get Avatar in theaters ASAP.
I know. I mean, we haven't heard from Adam Aaron yet this morning. Let me check that. It usually comes back before I even. You know, we haven't heard from Adam Aaron yet. But I totally think that it is a moment that if you abandon Iger, you're nuts. I mean, if you don't think you can fix the problem, I mean, the guy is a very smart guy. Sell the stock all you want. I think you're making a major mistake. Iger is driven by success. And by getting the right people, and he will get the right people and slim things down where he has to.
Yeah.
He's a winner, not a loser, and I back him anywhere.
Let's get you on oil really quick, Jim. We mentioned the price action on WTI. The other issue people are talking about is how the XLE and crude itself are so different for the year.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to hear Mike Wirth on Friday. He's coming on Squawk Box, and he's going to tell you he can't say halcyon times. Because then you'll get the windfall tax stuff. I almost said something. I mean, under Jimmy Carter, it didn't really work, although it did take in a lot of money. But I just think that you're seeing good demand. We're not seeing what's really happening in Europe. But everyone's traveling. Maybe oil overshot to the upside, mostly because there was a lot of guys when it went to 120, 130, on Wall Street, saying 150. And we hear from these people. And they maintain some credibility, which is rather shocking in itself. But I do think the chartists, and remember, these are commodities, are saying high 60s and then bounce.
High 60s?
And then bounce.
So you think the White House has a chance to fill the SPR, as they said?
Yeah, I think that they can cover the short there. And now, will they be nimble enough? President once told me gracefully that he was totally unaware of stocks, just because he didn't own any. I don't know. I suddenly think you can trade the futures. Highly unlikely.
It's remarkable, though. For the month, oil is down about 15. That's the worst month of the year as well.
Just incredible. November. And someone down, we got a downgrade of FANG, which is not the FANG that has been faltering all year, but Diamondback. This is from Bank of America. Hold to sell. And I would take the other side of that trade in a nanosecond. Diamondback's a fantastic operator.
How about helping viewers set the table for Snow, CRM, Okta?
They haven't come down enough. I think they have to slim down. I think Okta is, if you take a look at the last, if you look at what Nikesh Arora said at Palo Alto, they're coming on strong on identity, which is Okta's area. That will be a soup to nuts. They can cut out Okta. So I think Okta is very worrisome. I love Frank Slootman. He does not care about a stock. He's not going for a stock. I don't even think he looks at a stock. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Salesforce might have to bite the bullet here. I think that their table of employment is too high, or at least they have to do. My charitable trust has owned Salesforce since the beginning, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned because this is coming off of the Dreamforce quarter, and I don't know what Mark Benioff can do. We've made our sales. We're not selling anymore. I think that the company is one of the few winners in this space, along with ServiceNow, but the multiples are too high. Now, there's no longer big multiples to revenues. And we did hear talk of Coupa getting a bid, which is, yep. To me, a little fanciful, but anything's possible. But, Salesforce is a tough one.
Second worst Dow stock of the year behind Intel.
Is that amazing?
It is amazing. What about all the upgrades we've got to ServiceNow last couple of weeks?
Look, there is no doubt. I mean, it is painful how great that quarter was and how little recognition that McDermott got off of it. The federal contracts alone were extraordinary. The guy does have the great Rolodex, but it's expensive, but it had the best quarter of enterprise software by far, and it's not getting respect. Versus, say, Adobe, which did not have a great quarter, made an expensive acquisition. This is a group that has been beaten up. Someone could light a fire, you still have to buy ServiceNow, because that's the one that we know had a great quarter. There's Adobe being up on Cyber Monday or whatever.
Well, I was going to say, Adobe's one to watch. You know what? Shopify's up 8%.
Now, Shopify does a lot of the smaller retailers, which I keep hearing. This is the ones that are the Etsy-like, that I hear are doing a ton of business. As people realize that they kind of learned Etsy during the lockdown. And if you learned Etsy, you learned Shopify. So Shopify's kind of the anti-Amazon here. Doing well.
Yeah, 42 would be the 200-day, which seen since January.
I like Shopify here. I want to play on the fact that the independent retailers, I think, are having a very good holiday.
Powell will be the other big event of the week. He speaks at Brookings. There's some discussion about whether or not he cements the view that slower hikes are to come. Does he push back on the notion that we've solved the inflation puzzle?
Why do anything ahead of that employment number? Why not obfuscate? Why stick your neck out? I really think this is a time to be able to say, you know what, we're going to be data dependent. We want to see these numbers. Because, I mean, let's say you really start seeing, look, there's not been that many layoffs, a lot of hiring freezes. But if you get a softer number and you're hard line, then people are really going to say recession. So it doesn't pay. It pays to obfuscate, almost do a Greenspan. Mm.
He'll have jolts in his pocket, but not non-farm.
No, and I just think you're too close to that number to be able to say, look, I think that the economy's weak or the economy's strong. Why stick your neck out and hurt your credibility? Yeah.
We'll get to that on Wednesday. Overall, holding 4K here on the S&P. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Happy Monday. 2-1 declining to advancing stocks. And you can see the impact these China protests are having on our market. Again, I look, what's risk on, what's risk off today? And it's generally risk off, and you have to point the finger mostly to the China protests. So take a look at the sectors today. Energy, with oil's at the lowest level in almost a year since December of last year. Metals and mining, there's another classic global risk on, risk off. That's down rather notably. Semis, another one fractionally. And here's the curious story of the day. China stocks generally are flat to slightly on the upside. There's the big one, Crane Shares China Internet, KWEB, trading to the upside. I just want to note what's going on in the energy stocks, because Carl made a very good point about this disconnect that's been going on between oil, which is now below $75, almost a 52-week low, and energy stocks, which have generally been holding up very, very well. And this call on Diamondback Energy today from Bank of America, I think, goes to the heart of the question. They downgraded this stock because of what they call the disconnect between the future earnings possibilities and the current prices. And they said specifically the price targets have moved higher here, but they don't understand why, given the declining oil. So they call this a disconnect, a valuation disconnect here. And I think that goes to the story of what Carl was mentioning a little earlier. There's APA. Most of these stocks are 10 to 15% off their 52-week highs with oil near a 52-week low. So there's that disconnect that Bank of America was talking about on that downgrade. As for the China protests, it is curious to me that we have Hang Seng down 1.6%, the Shanghai down about 1%, everything down 1% in China. And yet the two biggest ETFs for China, which is the MCHI and the Crane Shares, China Internet, KWEB, trading to the upside. There's a lot of debate about what's going on here over the weekend in the United States. So there's two schools of thought here. The first school, which is somewhat more bearish, is that the targeted lockdowns are going to continue in China, and this is going to continue to cause problems. But there's another school out there that's saying these protests are so big now that the government's going to have to respond. They're going to have to ease the lockdowns. They're going to dramatically increase vaccination levels. And all this ultimately will be a good thing. Who knows where this is going to go? But the important thing is, if you look at China stocks today, and I know Pinduoduo had the earnings out, and they did have terrific numbers here. They looked like they beat on the revenue, net income, EPS all beat. So that's a big winner on earnings there. But everything else, JD.com, Alibaba, they're all trading to the upside right now. We're going to talk a lot more about this afternoon on ETF Edge, 12:35 Eastern Time. We're going to have Brendan Ahern on. Brendan runs KWEB. This is the second biggest ETF that's out there that deals with China shares. He's been very outspoken about this, that the government is going to have to ease their lockdowns eventually, and has a lot to say about these protests over the weekend in China. That'll be 12:35 Eastern Time, and again, 1 p.m. on etfedge.cnbc.com. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob, thank you. Great to have you back, Bob Pisani. A quick reminder, you can get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Just sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/jointheclub, or point your phone at the QR code on the screen, and it takes you right there. As we go to break, let's check bonds. We mentioned the events coming up in the coming days, Powell and Jolt and Jobs Friday. 10-year, 3.68. It's going to take you back to pretty much the early part of October, as that inversion between twos and tens, 80 basis points, a 40-year high. Back in a moment. Can't ignore the dollar index today, below 106 on the DXY. That is the lowest since August 12th.
Wow.
And below the 200-day for the first time since June of 2021. Pretty remarkable. Remember those highs at 114?
Yes.
Were pretty some pretty tense moments earlier in the summer. We'll get Stop Trading with Jim in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Let's get to Jim and Stop Trading.
We're starting to get the best ideas of 2023 from Wall Street. And I do like these research pieces, particularly Cowen today. This is Kai Von Rumor, who's really unbelievable. He's been around forever. He's saying you got to buy Raytheon here. I like this call. Defense pickup. You get really much better airline. Could be some very good numbers from aerospace. Talking about some high targets that I think will be realized. This is one you want to buy, particularly if you think, by the way, that the U.S. is going to step up with defense. They've got the Patriot. The Patriot would change the equation. I think that very much our government is reluctant to give Ukraine the anti-missile missiles. But I think that Greg Hayes will be persuasive. And I think that you do want to own Raytheon. A very, very strong call from Kai Von Rumor.
Certainly a lot of reporting over the weekend about weaponry that's getting lost in the shuffle over there on both sides.
They need, the Ukraine is shy of weapons. They're using about a fraction of what the North Vietnamese used against us in 7 days of Khe Sanh, which is really rather incredible. I just think it's outrageous that the U.S. government's not stepped up, but I understand that people say, well, are you kidding me? But after reading that article, it's very clear that Russia's going to win the missile war unless we help.
All right.
I think this is a democracy.
Yeah.
I think that you can say we without a problem.
Right.
Tonight, I'm going to name the best stock of the quarter.
Best stock of the quarter?
Hands down.
It's not a chart necessarily that's made it the best.
It's earnings. It's hands down the best. And once again, Eunice, please stay safe. That regime does, that they play in a different way.
Yeah. No, BBC have put out a statement about their reporter who was pushed around a bit.
I just don't want it. I mean, she's just a hero. Tremendous hero.
Yeah, we're grateful to her. Jim, we'll see you tonight.
Absolutely.
A busy week ahead. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Speaking of which, when we come back, a lot more on the unrest in China regarding zero COVID as we're holding on to some decent levels here. S&P 4001.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.